need to say the words you'd have to say, Lord, that I would be able to minister to those who are here tonight, that we would leave here knowing, Father, that we've learned something from your word, that we would be maybe a little challenged, that we would be a little reproved, Lord, that we would leave here just being a little more like you. Maybe just trying to fit that pattern that you've given us of trying to be walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Father, in your precious and holy name, I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Proverbs chapter number 23, and there's so many wonderful things to preach out of Proverbs. And I'd like you to keep your finger there. That's where we're going to be at the beginning of the sermon. But I'd like you to just real quickly go with me to the New Testament book of Philippians. Philippians, towards the end of your New Testament. Philippians, you've got the book of Ephesians, then you've got Philippians chapter number 3. And I'd like you to look at verse number 1. Philippians chapter number 3, and I'd like you to look at verse number 1. You know, as we've been preaching through the series on the family, we've dealt on the different roles that men and women play in a family. We dealt with the role of the husband. We dealt with the role of the wife. We dealt with the role of a father and of a mother. And like I said, tonight we're going to focus our attention towards the children. We're preaching on the subject of discipline and discipleship of children. I would like to say something. Some of the stuff that I'm going to say tonight, you've already heard. It's going to be stuff that I like to preach on how to raise children, and maybe it's because I'm raising children. I think it's very interesting, something for me to learn. But I don't think I'm going to give you much new tonight. We're going to look at a lot of passages we've looked at before, but I want you to see something in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse 1. And the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said this. He said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." And look what he says. He says, "To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." And I want you to know, sometimes you come to church and you think, "Oh, I've already heard that before. Or I've already, been taught that before. Or I already knew that." And the idea is this. To preach the same things and to teach the same things and to go over the same things over and over, it's not a grievous thing. It's really a safe thing. Sometimes we need to hear things again and again and again to make sure they sink down in our heart and we grasp them and understand them. So if tonight, you say, "Oh, I've already heard that," or "I've already seen that," because the thing is, we've touched some of this stuff as we've preached on the subject of fatherhood, as we've preached on the subject of motherhood, but it's not grievous to go over it again. In fact, for you, it's very safe. And if you look at, go back to Proverbs 23, and I'd like you to see verse number 13. Point number one, we're not going to be very long tonight, Lord willing. Depends how quickly you can get to the verses. Proverbs 20, we're going to start with point number one is this. Discipline children, or disciplining children, or discipline your children. It's kind of a controversial subject today in 2012. But I'd like you to look at verse number 13 of chapter number 23 in the book of Proverbs. Verse 13 says this, "Withhold not correction from the child." The Bible says that we ought to not withhold correction from the child. And you say, what exactly do you mean by correction? What is the Bible, when the Bible is referring to discipline or correction, what is it talking about? Is it talking about time out? Is it talking about taking their Game Boy away? Is it talking about, sending them to their room where they've got their TV and their PlayStation and all their toys? What is the Bible referring to? And I like the Bible because it always defines itself for us. Look at verse 13. It says, "Withhold not correction from the child." Look what it says. "For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die." Let me tell you something. I don't care how unpopular or against the grain or whatever it is in our society today. The Bible teaches that the proper discipline for a child today is a good old-fashioned beating. It's a spanking. It's a, it's corporal punishment. It's not, put him in time out or take away their toy or yell at him for 3 hours. The Bible says, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." Now, let me tell you something. When we're talking about the word beating, let me just define this right now. This ought to be common sense, but I understand some of us don't. You may be not comfortable with that word. When we're talking about a spanking, or the word that the Bible uses, beating a child, we're not talking about beating like what you think of, when we think of like a drunk dad beating his children. That's not what we're talking about. When we talk about spanking a child, we're not talking about hitting them with your fist. We're not talking about slapping them in their face. We're not talking about pushing them. We're not talking about injuring them. You know, I often say this, God gave us a nice little, and I've heard this before, I didn't come up with it, but God, you know, when God developed a child, He developed a nice little area on their bottom that's got a little bit of padding and a whole lot of nerves, and God designed that area perfect for a good, nice spanking. You know, and that's what we're talking about. We're not advocating hitting children or beating up children. That's not what we're talking about tonight. But the Bible says that we ought to spank our children. The Bible says that if you're going to discipline, and let me tell you something, let me just make something very clear, because we're dealing with the subject of the family. A child that is not spanked, if you have a child, if you raise a child and you refuse to spank them, I'm telling you right now, I promise you, you are going to raise a monster. Period. There was a day in this country when everybody spanked their children. Even school teachers spank children in school. And I'm not really advocating that, but that's something. I mean, there's a day in this country where you could go to the grocery store, your kids were acting up, you could sit them down on your lap, pull their pants down, and give them a spanking, and people would walk by and say, "Praise God." Amen. That's not the day today, though. In the 60s and in the 70s, philosophies came out that said you ought not spank children, you ought to reason with a child, you ought to put them on the corner, you ought to, you know, make them count to 10, you ought to, you know, do all these silly things that the Bible doesn't talk about. And how did that turn out? Look at the generation that came out of the 60s and the 70s and the fornication and the drugs and the alcohol and the broken families and all the lust and snot that came out of that generation. Let me tell you something. If you refuse to raise a child by spanking them like the Bible says, you will raise a monster. You will raise a brat. If you look at verse number 14 there, look what it says. Look at what the Bible says. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, look what he says, and shall deliver his soul from hell. The Bible says if you beat your child with a rod, again, we're not talking about beating up, you know, beating up your child, we're talking about a good spanking on the bottom, the way the Bible tells us to. If you do that, the Bible says you will deliver his soul from hell. Children that aren't spanked will grow up to be rebellious, will grow up to be brats, will grow up to be monsters. Look at, you're there in Proverbs 23, look at Proverbs 22, look at verse 15, look what it says. Proverbs 22, look at verse 15. Proverbs 22, let me tell you something. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, 15, look what it says. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Kids are naturally foolish. Kids are naturally disobedient. Kids are naturally rebellious. And the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But look what it says. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So how do I drive foolishness from my child? The rod of correction. How do I drive foolishness away from my child? A good old-fashioned spanking. How do I drive foolishness from a child? The Bible is very clear. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, we've got to, you know, you got to understand a few things. You're there in Proverbs 22. Go back to 23 real quick. You should just be right there. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, withhold not correction from a child. It says, for if thou beatest him with a rod, look what he says, he shall not die. Now, let me explain something to you. Because, you know, sometimes we have to get really, graphic's not the right word, but we got to get really down to explaining this because people do not understand, okay, what the Bible is referring to as spanking. We spank, listen to me, we spank to hurt, not to injure. Do you understand what I'm saying? We spank to hurt, not to injure. The goal is not to injure your child, okay? The goal is to hurt the child enough that is a deterrent from disobeying again. You understand what I'm saying? I watch parents, you know, and I have to get really down and nitty gritty with this because we watch parents, you know, spank their children, and there seems to be two extremes with parents. Either they're to the extreme where it's almost like child abuse what they're doing, you know, and they're just like crazy and spanking their kids and hitting them and throwing them. It's like, wait, whoa, whoa, that's not what we're talking about. You're going to injure a child that way. You end up in prison that way. Or you're going to, you know what you're going to end up with? A child that very much hates their parents that way. You don't want to injure, okay? But then on the other extreme, I see this all the time. We have the mom that takes her child and says, "I'm going to spank you." And she puts him on his lap with his diaper. I don't know if you know this. Diapers are padded. Do you understand that? You know. And then the mom takes this little padded bottom and she goes, "There." And the kid's like laughing. Let me tell you something. If a spanking doesn't hurt the child, you've accomplished nothing. The purpose of the spanking is to deter them from doing it again. So when you say, "Hey, you know, Johnny," there's no Johnnies here, right? We're good with that name. "Hey, little Johnny, you know, don't steal cookies from the cookie jar," and they steal a cookie from the cookie jar. The point is to get, you know, hurt them enough to where they say, "It's not worth it." You understand what I'm saying? It's not worth disobeying mom. It's not worth disobeying dad, because it hurts when we disobey. There's a punishment. But when you know, and let me just make this clear. If you're spanking your, if you have to spank your child, like every minute, you're probably doing it wrong. Okay? You want a spanking to hurt. You want a spanking to, if your child is laughing while you're spanking them, you're doing it wrong. Okay? And let me just give you some tips. For those of you that have small children, or maybe those of you who have children in the future, let me just give you some tips. Remove the diaper. It's padded. You know, spank them on their bottom only. You should never hit a child in their face. Don't let me find out don't say, "Pastor, I was listening to your sermon. I smacked my kid." I'll smack you. You know, don't blame that on me. I didn't tell you to smack your child across the face. CPS, come talk to me about it. I'll say, "Take him away." I didn't do that. Spank your child on their bottom. That's where God, that's the place that God gave you. Spank to hurt, not to injure. Look at Proverbs 19. Look at verse 18. Proverbs 19. Look at verse 18. And let me just tell you something right now. You spank that child, they're going to cry. They're going to cry bloody murder. You say, "Pastor, I barely look at them." And I know kids, man, you give them a bad look and they're like, "Yeah!" You know, like you're killing them or something. And the Bible takes care of all these answers for us. Look at Proverbs 19. Look at verse 18. Look what it says. Proverbs 19. Look at verse 18. Look what the Bible says. "Chasten thy son while there is hope." Look at the last phrase of verse 18. "And let not thy soul spare for his crying." Let me tell you something. You spank your children. You say, "I feel bad when I spank." You know how parents always say, "It hurts me more than it hurts you." First of all, that's a lie. You're spanking them. You're spanking them like I spank them. It hurts them more than it hurts me. I'm here right now. But let me tell you something. Don't spare for their crying. See, some parents say, "I don't like to spank them because they cry and it makes me feel bad." Let me tell you something. You don't spank them now. You don't get their heart now. When the police officer's beating them on the street with this little stick because they don't obey, because they never learned to obey, you know, authority, and they never learned to follow rules and follow laws, and they just stop that because, "Well, mommy told me not to do something, and whenever I cross that line, nothing happened. Every time I cross my dad, nothing happened." Let me tell you something. They're going to cross some gangbanger someday and something will happen. They're going to cross some cop someday and something will happen. They're going to cross some neighbor, some guy down the street, some guy in the bar someday and something will happen. You better figure out right now that you got to teach your kids that there are boundaries, there are rules, and there are consequences for your actions. And when you disobey, something happens now before the world teaches them in the jail prisons or on the streets. I'm telling you right now. Amen. You say, "Well, they cry." It's good. It's good they cry. That means it's working. Look at verse 18 again. "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." When it comes to discipline, I said, number one, spank your child. Don't give him time out. Don't send him to his room. Don't, you know, take away privileges. Just spank him. Spank him like, you know, don't, let me tell you something. Don't, what's this thing that parents do today? Ground your children. Okay? You know what's so beautiful about spanking a child? And this is, I believe, why God did it. Because you can just take care of the issue right then. You know, they disobey, you spank them, they cry, you know, they ask for forgiveness, whatever, and then it's done. It's not dragged out. "You remember 4 weeks ago I told you not to do that, you're still grounded, go to your room." Look, don't raise your children like that, where they're just like in prison for 6 months. "You're grounded, you're 27. You know, that's not okay. Yeah, do you want God dealing with you like that? You sin against him and he just holds it, you know, and he just brings it up to you every day for the next 10 years. Look, this is how God disciplines his children, by the way. He chastens us and then it's done. He punishes us and then it's done. And that's how you should discipline your children. Look at verse 18 again. Proverbs 19:18. I'm just trying to give you some points when it comes to spanking. We said, spank your children or you will raise a monster. Spank to hurt, not to injure. Number three on that subject, spank when they are young. Spank when they are young. Look at Proverbs 19:18. Look what the Bible says. Chasten thy son, look what it says, while there is hope. Chasten thy son while there is hope. Do you want to know why people don't spank today? Let me just be very honest with you. You want to know why people don't spank today? Because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to spank your children. It's a lot of work to be consistent to spank. It's much easier to yell at your children. You know that? Because you can do that from the couch. It's much easier to throw stuff at your kids because you can do that from the couch. Spanking your child takes a lot of work. But let me tell you something. The Bible tells us, it says, chasten thy son while there is hope. If you go to Proverbs 13, look at verse number 24. Proverbs 13, look at verse number 24. The Bible says this. Proverbs 13:24. Look what the Bible says. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him, look what it says, chasteneth him betimes. You see that word betimes there? That's an old English word. That word betimes means early. The Bible says that he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Let me tell you something. Spank your children while they are young. Do you know that it's easier to make a 4-year-old obey than it is to make a 14-year-old obey? You know that it's easier to make a 3-year-old obey than a 13-year-old or a 23-year-old or a 33-year-old? The Bible tells us that we ought to spank children when they are young. And understand this. When children are very young, you're going to spank them a lot more. The way this works is you ought to spank a lot while they're young, and you don't spank as much when they're older. Does that make sense? Because you're training them. You're teaching them. Spank them when they're young. Even you say, well, they're 1.5 years old. You know, sometimes when they disobey, when you get to a place where you know that they know they're disobeying, hey, a little swat on the thigh, let them know there are you know, repercussions for their disobedience. But the Bible tells us we have to spank when we're young. Let me just tell you right now, I am not for spanking adult children. You ought not be spanking, you know, you ought not be spanking your 21-year-old. You ought not be spanking your 18-year-old. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be spanking 13 years old and up. Period. Now, let me make something very clear. I don't know exactly, I was trying to think about this, I don't know exactly when I got my last spanking from my dad. But I know that I wasn't anywhere near 13. I mean, I was probably 12 the last time my dad spanked me. I would imagine. I don't know. I got so many of them, it's hard to keep track. But I dead sure know I wasn't 17 or 18. But let me explain something to you, okay? If my dad would have attempted to spank me when I was 14, I'll tell you right now, I would have taken it. If he would have attempted to spank me at 17, I would have taken it. If my dad tried to spank me today, I'd probably take it. You say, well, why is that? Well, here's what you got to understand, okay? I got spanked since I can remember. I got spanked my entire life. Lord willing, I don't have to spank my kids when they're 14. But you know what? If I have to, I probably will be able to, because they've been getting spanked their whole lives. But this is the mistake that I see so many people make, you know, as a pastor and just in church in general. People decide, you know, when their kids are 19, oh no, I've never raised them, I'm going to start spanking them up. Look, you can't spank them at 19, okay? You missed that time frame. You missed that window a long time ago. Don't start spanking your 14-year-old. You're gonna guarantee that that child hates you and that child leaves home the day they turn 18, because guess what? No one likes to get hit. But if you start when they're young, you see what I'm saying? You start when they're young, you start training when they're young, then they'll take it. Not, you know, remember that we're talking about the fatherhood sermon? We're talking about, I hear all the time these 18-year-old kids who fight with their parents. I mean, literally fist fight with their parents. What is that? Well, I'll tell you exactly what it is. A parent who did not take the time to discipline their child as they were growing up, that child grew up into a monster, and then they tried to get physical with the 19-year-old. And that's why they get the black eye, and that's why they got the story about, oh, I got a fist fight with my son. That's ridiculous. Spank them betimes. Spank them when they're young. You know, don't try spanking them when they're, like, nearly an adult. You already, you know, that window is gone. Like I said, you know, I don't think I ever got spanked past the age of 12. I would have taken it, but that's because I've been spanked my whole life. If I would have been spanked my whole life, I don't think I would have taken it. Start where they're young while there's hope. Start while they're young, while there's hope. Don't spank your adult children. Look at Proverbs 13:24 again. Let me show you another verse on spanking. Often people will ask me, they'll say about spanking, people will make this statement. They'll say, I love my children too much to spank them. Well, look at what the Proverbs says. Proverbs 13:24. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, he that spareth his rod, look what it says, hateth his son. Do you see that? He that spareth his son. Notice how the Bible doesn't mince any words. It says, hateth his son. The child, the parent, the father, the mother that refuses to discipline their children, God says it's because you hate your children. But he that loveth him chasteneth betimes. The Bible tells us that love equals discipline. Let me show it to you even further. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse number 11. Proverbs chapter number 3, look at verse number 11. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse 11. Look what the Bible says. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Notice, the Lord chastens us. The Lord corrects us. Look what it says. Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Look at verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Let me tell you something. God chastens us because he loves us. And parents who love their children will chasten them. Parents who love their children will discipline them. Parents who love their children will spank them. And these liberals out here, these hippies out here, say, I love my child too much to spank. You are lazy. You are a liar. The Bible says you don't correct your child because you hate your child. You're setting your child up for failure if you don't discipline them. Discipline your children. Discipline your children. America was a great nation when children got spanked. America was a great nation when children got disciplined by their parents and they knew they didn't cross their father and they didn't cross their mother. I said, number one, when it comes to raising children, you need to discipline your children. But there's another side to raising children. Go over to Proverbs 22. Look at verse number 6. Proverbs 22, look at verse number 6. We ought not only discipline our children, we also ought to disciple our children. Here's why I believe Baptists drop the ball. You know, you go to a Baptist church and you talk about disciplining your children and everybody's nodding their head saying, yeah, praise the Lord, amen. But the Bible doesn't only tell us to discipline our children, the Bible teaches us to disciple our children. Look at Proverbs 22, look at verse number 6, look what it says. Proverbs 22:6, look what it says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me tell you something, mom and dad, your job is to train your children. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I watch people parent their children today, and they act as if they're in prison and they're doing time. You've got an 18-year sentence. And you gotta just make sure that the kid gets to school, hopefully they graduate, that they've got the clothes they need, and they got the food they need, and as soon as they're 18, you kick them out the door, and you're done. Let me tell you something. That may be how the world raises their children, but that is not Bible Christianity parenthood. The Bible says our job is to train. Our job is to teach. Our job is to disciple, not just discipline. Praise God for the discipline. But if you discipline and don't disciple, you're doing a disservice to your children. Disciple your children. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. I like the word train there. You know, I've talked about this recently. I started a new job as an HVAC technician. Right now I'm in training. You know, training is a lot of work. Training requires attention. They have to send me with someone. That person has to instruct me. They have to teach me. They have to talk to me. They have to take me. I have to say, here's how you do this, and here's how you do that. Here's where you go. That's what the Bible says. Train up a child in the way you should. You got to be training that child. You've only got him for 18, 19, 20 years. Teach him something. Go with me real quickly. We've seen these verses before, but go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 4. Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 4. We saw these verses where we're talking about the role of a father. But the Bible says, Ephesians 6, 4, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Let me tell you something. It's not just that we discipline our children, it's that we disciple them. We teach them. Keep your bulletin or something there in Ephesians 6. We're going to come back to it. But go with me to Deuteronomy. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, you've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Look at verse number 6. We've seen these verses before, but I'd like you to see them again. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And look at verse number 6. These are some of my favorite verses when it comes to raising children. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and look at verse number 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse 6, the Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Look at verse 7. Verse 6 is talking about the words of God. It says, "These words will be in thine heart." Look at verse 7 though. This is what God commands. This is what God commands us. He says, "And thou shalt teach them." Teach what? God's words, His law. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." If you're not afraid to mark in your Bible, do this for me. This is what I've done in my Bible. When it says, "and thou," circle that word "thou." It says, "and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy," circle that word "thy," "children. And shall talk of them when thou," circle that word "thou," "citizen," "thine," circle that word "thine," "house." "And when thou," circle that word, "walkest by the way," "and when thou," circle that word, "lies down," "and when thou," circle that word, "rises up." Every time you look at this verse, you know, every time I open up my Bible, I see this. You know what I see when it comes to raising my children? I see these words, "thou," "thy," "thou," "thine," "thou," "thou," "thou." Let me tell you something. Whose job is it to teach your kids? Thou shall teach them. It's your job, Mom and Dad. Brother Vincent and I were talking earlier today. I hope you don't mind me using this as an example, but he's having this conversation with some family, and these people were talking about the public school system or something, and they were complaining, and they were saying, you know, it's the teacher's job to teach the kids. No, my friend, it's not the teacher's job to raise your kids, to train your kids. It's not the Sunday school teacher's job. It's not the Christian school teacher's job. It's not the public school teacher's job. It's not the charter school teacher's job. It's not the pastor's job. It's your job. Thou shalt teach them. Thou shalt show them. Thou shalt train them. It's your job to raise your kids. Today, we have given up our children. People have kids just so that they can put them in a daycare, put them in a preschool, put them in a Christian school, a public school, a home, you know, whatever. Good night, homeschooling, praise God. Put them anywhere and say, "Someone else raised my kids." No, you raise your kids. God gave you those kids. God gave you those children. They're your responsibility. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. I wish we'd get back to this in America. Where people would say, "My child is a precious gift that God has given me, and I'm going to raise that kid. I'm not going to let somebody else teach them the Bible. I want to teach them the Bible." You know, I don't want some Sunday school teacher to get my kids saved. You know who I want to get my kids saved? Me. Or my wife. You know what I want to teach? You know, I preach a lot about the King James Bible. I'm sure you've heard me preach on that before. Praise God, I hope you have. And, you know, I'll preach John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You know, that's something I preach with passion. That's something I preach with boldness and with power, that God is God's Word. You know who taught me that? I remember being a 7-year-old boy, and my dad taking his Bible and opening up John 1:1 and teaching me that Jesus is the Word. I remember that. And guess what? What I believe today. That Jesus is the Word, amen. And I preach it. Why? Because somebody took the time and just like, you go over here to your little daycare, your little whatever. He said, hey, I'm going to teach you God's Word. And thou shalt teach them diligently. I love being able to say that I was saved as a 4-year-old boy because my dad took his Bible and showed me salvation. It's your job, my friend. And we're missing the point when it comes to our children. God gave you those kids. Look, as a pastor, I want to come alongside you and I want to help you and I want to help train you and I want to help teach you how to teach your kids and I want to encourage you and I want to, yeah, you know, let's work together with this, but they're your kids. Discipline your children. Go back to Proverbs 23, look at verse 26. Proverbs 23, look at verse 26. Proverbs 23, look at verse 26. You say, how do I discipline my children? Number one, parents, your job is to teach and train your children. It's your job to teach them God's Word. Not only that, but you got to set an example for your children. Look at Proverbs 23, look at verse number 26. Proverbs 23, verse 26, the Bible says, my son, give me thine heart. He says, my son, give me thine heart. And here's the problem. All parents want to say that to their children. Give me your heart. But look what he said. My son, give me thine heart. And look what he says. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Mom and dad, it's your job to set the example for your children. Remember we were preaching about this morning, that pattern? It's your job to follow Christ so that they will follow you. It's your job to set that pattern, to set that mold, to set that example. The Bible says, my son, yes, give me thine heart. But at the same time, you say, and let thine eyes observe my ways. You set the example of Bible reading. You set the example of prayer. You set the example of church attendance. You set the example of soul winning. You give that example to your children. You say, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, this whole do as I say, not as I do, doesn't work. Words speak louder, or actions speak louder than words. You tell your kids all you want, you know, marry and don't fornicate and don't sleep around and love your kids, and they watch you sleep around, Mom. They watch you fornicate, Dad. They watch you be, you tell your kids, grow up and don't be lazy and get up early and go to work, and they watch you sleep all day and not accomplish anything all day, and you tell them, you do this and don't, you know, the parents go, they're smoking.
Yeah, how do you smoke? I don't know how to smoke. Sorry, this is not the same thing. You smoke like this. How many of you are, those of you are laughing, that's not good. You know, and this is what parents say. Don't smoke. Don't smoke, son. It's a bondage. And what do the kids grow up to do? I promise you right now, what does the statistics tell us? Those kids grow up to smoke. And look, the parents, those are the most adamant that are saying, I don't know that I ever remember my dad telling me not to smoke. But you know what? I don't smoke. Why? Because I had a good example. But these parents, don't smoke, son. It's not good for you. And the kids grow up and smoke. You've got to set the example. I told them not to smoke. I know, but they watch you smoke. And here's what you got to understand, Mom and Dad. Whether those kids want to admit it or not, they are watching you. You are their hero. They want to be like you. They want to act like you. Be around these young kids. You know, I have a little 2-year-old. Oh, well, you know, my wife begins to cook something or make something. Those kids want to be right in their way. They want to help her. They want to be part of that. They want to work with Daddy. Sometimes they get in the way, but they want to be. They want to, when I'm hammering something, they want their own hammer. They want their own tool. They want to be like you. And when you set the example, they will follow it. Study your Bible. Study your Bible. Watch in the Bible. Read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, where it says so-and-so continued in the sins of his father. All throughout the scripture, so-and-so continued in the sins of his father. And so, and it's a chain that doesn't get broken. Why? Because they set the example. Set an example. Yes, discipline your children, but you've got to balance that out with discipleship. Read the Bible with your kids. Pray with your kids. Turn off that stupid television. Turn off that computer. Turn off the game point and say, hey kids, let's gather together. We're going to read the Bible and we're going to pray and we're going to learn about God's Word. Why? Because it's your job to train up a child in the way he should go. How do you love a child? Go with me real quickly to Titus, chapter number 2. Titus, chapter number 2. Titus, chapter number 2.
See, this isn't very popular preaching. I wish Baptist preachers would mount their pulpits all across America and preach sermons like this. Maybe we'd have a chance to win back a generation. Titus chapter number 2. Look at verse number 3. Titus chapter number 2. Look at verse number 3. Anybody warm? Anybody cold?
Does anybody not understand the question? I always like saying that. I just say that to see if you're paying attention.
Everybody comfortable?
Yeah, I'm always hot, but...
Titus chapter number... You guys are like, well, if you weren't up there yelling past you, you'd be fine. Titus chapter number 2. Look at verse number 3. Look what the Bible says. Titus chapter number 2, look at verse number 3. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Look at verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. Look what it says. To love their children. Part of disciplining children and discipling children is loving your children. Let me tell you something. Spend time with your kids. I don't know how else to get this in your mind, but you only have 18, 19, 20 years with that child. That's all you got, and that goes like that. That goes fast. You better learn to spend time with your kids. You better learn to enjoy your children. Let me give you some advice. You know, praise your kids. Encourage them. Help build their confidence a little bit. You know, sometimes we have this idea, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, bless God. You know, I'm going to spank you. You look at me wrong, or you don't eat, you know, I told you to eat those peas. You left one pea, I'm going to spank you. You know, good night. Great. Praise the Lord. But also, you know, love your kids. You know, you ought to take an inventory of your mind. Think about your average day with your children. Just think about the average day with your children. How much time you spend talking with your kids? How much time do you spend with your children? I'm not talking about when we spent three hours with me sitting next to me on the couch as we were watching television. That's not family time. How much do you talk to your children? You know, sometimes we as parents, and look, I can be like this. We're just negative. Are you always negative with your kids? Are you always annoyed with your children? Hey, look, you've only got them for so long. You know, the last thing I want is for my kids to grow up and the memories they have of Dad is, Dad was always upset. Dad was always mad. I was always kind of scared around Dad. I didn't want to cross the wrong line because I know that he just had a short fuse. I don't want them to think like that about me. But oftentimes, that's how we are. You know, don't be annoyed with your kids. You know, I know sometimes they're a hassle, sometimes they're work, but hey, you've only got them for a few years. It's not a sentence that you're wishing you could, you know. I get so tired. I hear parents say this all the time. Christmas break or summer. And I hear parents say, I can't wait till spring break is over. I can't wait till they go back to school. That's a shame, my friend. You're going to regret those words one day. Develop a relationship with your children. Love your kids. Spend time with them. Praise your children. Don't just be negative all the time. Don't embarrass your children, by the way. Hey, those are your kids. Be proud of them. They've got issues, and we understand that they all got issues. Discipline them, love them, correct them, talk to them, but love them. Think about that. How do you speak to your kids? Love them. Be there for them. Listen to your children. Listen to your children. We have this
problem as parents. Do you want to know why your kids or why children grow up and they've got their little best friend and you say they act like their little best friend's more important than their family, or they act like their little boyfriend's more important than their family, or they've got, and look, and I'm not standing up for those kids. I'm going to get on your kids here in a second. Don't you worry, parents. But let me tell you something. You want to know why they do that? Because most kids don't feel like they can talk to their parents. You know why? Because most parents don't listen to their children. See, if you would listen, they might say something you don't like, but if you would not blow up on them every time they open their mouth, maybe they would be more willing to talk. And if you, look, I'd rather have my kids talking to me and telling me things I don't want to hear so I can try to work on that than have them sneaking off and doing things outside of me. You understand that? Their little 17-year-old buddy is not the person I want them getting life advice from. Their little 13-year-old friend that's got all this wisdom because they're in the 8th grade and I'm only in the 7th grade. I don't want them giving them advice. I want them to talk to me, but they won't talk to you if you don't listen. Spend time with your kids. Love your kids. They're not perfect, but they're the kids God gave you. Train them, discipline them, yes. But let them know you're there for them.
Let me give you guys just a real quick word. Go back to Proverbs 29. Look at verse number 17. Proverbs 29. We got like 8 more verses. We're almost done. Around here, that's not much. Hey, we've already looked at like 50. You count the whole chapter we read. Proverbs 29. Look at verse number 17. Proverbs 29. Look, I've only been preaching for 40 minutes. I got another 40 minutes to go before it starts getting late. So, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to be that long. Proverbs 29. Look at verse 17. You're making me waste time. Proverbs 29, 17. Look what it says. Proverbs 29, 17. Are you there yet? Proverbs 29, 17. Look what it says. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul.
That's the kind of relationship I want with my kids. Where I feel rest. I'm not worried. They give delight unto my soul. You know that I want to raise children that when they're 19 years old, and they say, Dad, I like this girl, and I'd like to take her on a date, that I can trust them, and say, yeah, go ahead. Because I know that I've raised them right, and they've proven themselves. But how do you get that? Look what it says, verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Correct your kids. Love your kids. Discipline your kids. Disciple your kids. Don't be your kid's friend. I have to tell my children, you know, and my kids are just real young. But they'll say something to me and I'll say, look, Joshua, I'm not your friend. I'm your dad. You don't talk to me like that. And the biggest mistake we make, especially when we start getting older kids, we want to be their buddy. Look, I want to be my kid's friend all day long. But I am their father. And you are their father. You are their mother. There is a line of authority there. You better keep that. Correct your child. Why? Because he'll give you rest. He'll give delight unto thy soul.
Look at Psalm 1. Look at verse 18. Verse 18, very popular verse in the book of Proverbs. But I want you to notice, verse 18 is in the context of verse 17.
Verse 18, very famous verse in the book of Proverbs. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That's a great verse. I love that verse. We preach that verse all the time. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's a great soul winning verse. Where there is no vision for lost souls, the people perish. And praise God. But you know that that verse is in the context of verse 17? What's verse 17 say? Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And in that same context, where there is no vision, the people perish. Do you see that? Look at Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Look at verse 4. Psalm 127. Look at verse number 4. Psalm 127. Look at verse number 4. Actually, look at verse number 3. Psalm 127. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. The Bible says children are a reward. They're a gift from God. Look at verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. I love this verse. I love this verse. If you're a parent, you ought to memorize this verse or know where it is in the Bible. The Bible says that children are as arrows in the hands of a mighty man. So are children of the youth. The Bible says that children are like arrows. The analogy that the Bible is telling us there, just like a great marksman can take an arrow and shoot that arrow into a target and hit that target. The Bible says in the same way that a mighty man can take a bow and take an arrow and point that bow and shoot that arrow and hit that mark. In that same way, that's you and I as parents. Our children are those arrows, and we ought to train up that child, and we ought to prepare that child, and we ought to hit the mark with that child. Raise your children with purpose. Where there is no vision, the people perish. see how they turn out.
I've heard people say this: as long as my kids graduate from high school, I'm happy. I'm a success as a parent.
That is a sad statement. As long as my kid graduates from high school, I'm a success? Good night. Have some purpose for your children. Have some direction for your children. Have a plan. You say, well, what do I do, Pastor? You pray for that child. How much time do you spend praying for your kids? Don't answer that. How much time do you spend praying for your children? Oh, Pastor, aren't you praying for my children?
I try to pray for your children, but look, if Mom and Dad aren't praying for their kids, who else is going to pray for them?
Have some direction. Try to guide them. Try to teach them. Especially these older kids. Look, when they're older, there's not much you can force them all you want. But once they get a certain age, they're going to do what they want. You better work on winning their heart. Winning their love and their respect and teaching them that God is real and God loves them and God has a plan for them.
Verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them.
Quiver full of what? Children. They're a blessing. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates.
Have a purpose for your children. Now, just real quickly, I told you to keep your finger or something in Ephesians 6. Go back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. We've been dealing with the subject of disciplining and discipling children. But as we close, let me give a word to the children.
The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6 in verse 1.
It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Let me tell you something, kids.
I don't care who your parents are. I don't care what mistakes you think they might have made, or they didn't make, or they didn't do, or they did do. It doesn't matter. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
It tells us to honor. It doesn't say honor if they were good. It doesn't say honor if they were bad. It doesn't say honor if they were rich or they were poor. It says honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment. Don't miss this. With promise.
You know there's a promise associated to the commandment of honor thy father and thy mother? Say, what's the promise? Look what it says. Verse 3.
That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth.
Let me tell you something. The Bible teaches that if you honor your parents, God will give you a long life. I remember I was talking to one of my friends, and he was telling me that his grandmother was like really old, like 100 years old or something. And this, I met this lady. She was like in great shape. Like you, if you would have seen her, you would have thought she was like in her 70s. And she was, I'm probably exaggerating a little bit. You probably remember. How old was she, honey? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? I'll tell you later.
I think she was like in her 90s or something.
But if you would have seen this lady, Steve's grandmother. How old was she? Like in her 90s? Man, if you would see, this lady, like, was driving, she would get up. I mean, she was in great. And I remember my friend that asked her, he said, what's your secret for living such a long life? He said, and here's what she said. I honored my mother and my father. And she said, that's why I honestly, she's like, I didn't eat healthy, I didn't eat organic, I didn't eat nothing. She's like, when I was growing up, we ate whatever, you know. She's like, I still eat whatever I want. She said, but I believe that the reason I'm so healthy is because I honored mom and dad. And you know what I say to that? Amen and amen. Because the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Kids, it is your responsibility. The role of a child, obey your mom. Obey your dad. You say, well, you don't know my mom. I don't need to know your mom. I don't need to know your dad. I don't really care how good or bad you think they are. Those are the parents that God gave you. Those are the parents that God put you in. They put you in their house. He put you in their care for a reason. You honor and you obey and you love them and you let God take care. You fix your attitude and you say, yes, ma'am, man. No, ma'am, man. I love you, Dad, and I love you, Mom, and I'm going to honor you, because you say, well, they don't deserve that. God deserves it. Do it because God said to do it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Let me tell you something. You throw a fit for your mom and dad, and you throw a little, you know, and you get your little attitude, and you slam that door, and you throw things, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I get sick and tired of these teenagers. They want to act like they're a bunch of adults, but they act like a bunch of little babies when they don't get their way. Amen. You start acting like an adult, and maybe you'll be treated like an adult. Amen. And you start, you young children, you start maturing a little bit, and you start saying, "Hey, mom, hey, dad, what can I help with? Can I make you say my mom's always mad or my dad's always mad. You want to make them happy? Make your bed. See how they act. Honor your parents. Let me tell you something. The Bible says you reap what you sow. You want to grow up and have a little child that turns out into a brat, you be a brat. The Bible says you will reap what you sow. Colossians 3:20. Go there just real quickly. After Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 20. Look what the Bible says. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Let me tell you something. When a two-year-old throws a fit, you think to yourself, okay, well, they're two. You little 10-year-olds are throwing fits like a bunch of babies. Grow up. Learn some self-discipline and learn to control your emotions, and you just listen to mom and dad. I promise you, God will bless you if you do that. God will give you what the desires of your heart if you do that. Let's look at one more verse. Go back to Proverbs. You should be able to find that easily. Chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter number 30. Look at verse number 11. Proverbs chapter number 30. Look at verse number 11. Look what the Bible says. Proverbs 30:11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Unfortunately, I believe that's the generation we're living in today. There is a disrespectful generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. And you know what I found that I think is funny? You know, I'm against divorce and I'm against split families. I think the best thing for children is to be raised with mom and dad in the home. But you know what I've found? I don't really understand or comprehend. But I found this. Children end up liking more the parent that does the least for them. I don't understand that. The child that takes care of, the parent that takes care of them and the parent that's with them, the parent that's, you know, bringing them up and paying the expenses, for some weird reason, you know, get your mind in order and you better start realizing that the Bible tells you to honor both mom and dad. Obey both mom and dad. There is a generation, the Bible tells us, that curseth their father and does not bless their mother. Let that not be said of Verity Baptist Church. Hey, Pastor, what do you want for the children in this church? I want the children in this church. I want the kids in this church and I want the parents in this church. I want to raise kids with such character and such integrity and just a way about them that people see them walking down the street and they say, that must be one of those Verity kids. That must be one of those Christians. Remember we're talking about that? Because there's just a quality. You know, I loved in the book of Daniel when they were brought to Nebuchadnezzar. The king Nebuchadnezzar looked at all the children that were brought and he saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and he saw Daniel and here's what he said. They are 10 times better than any of the other children in the kingdom. That's what I want for these kids right here. When these kids go to school, I want the teachers to acknowledge, man, that daughter and that young man right there and that girl right there, they're 10 times better than anything I've ever seen. You say, how are we going to get there? This type of preaching. This type of lifestyle. Discipline, discipleship. Love your children. Enjoy your children. Spend time with your children. Is everybody fully offended? And my job is done. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our church. And Lord, I pray you'd help your words to sink down in our ears. And that parents would learn to discipline and disciple their children. And that children would learn to obey and love their parents. Lord, if we can do that, I think we can bring out another generation to serve you. Father, I pray you'd bless the time we had here, that we would leave here, knowing that we've heard from your word. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.